Blog Talk Radio.
What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. But what the world needs now is love, sweet love. Just for some, but for everyone. Lord, we don't need another mountain. There are mountains and the hillsides enough to climb. There are oceans and rivers enough to cross, enough to last till the end of time. What the world the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for everyone. Lord, we don't need another meadow. There are cornfields and wheat fields enough to grow. There are sunbeams and moonbeams enough to shine. Oh, listen, Lord, if you want to know. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just to love. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for everyone. What the world needs now is love, sweet love.
What the world
welcome everybody to the Jasari's Love Show. I am Jasari's Love, also known as Cynthia Jahi, or Cynthia Jahi, known as Jasari's Love. And well, what is Jasari's Love? It means audacious love, bold love. It's a deep love, and the love that I share is with creation and humanity. The love and the desire, my heart's desire, is that people be more loving to each other and to the planet, and that means to plants, to the soil, to the water that we have, the air that we breathe, and to the other creatures that are on this planet. So that is the basis for my show, as Sister Dionne Warwick so eloquently sang, and the lyrics of the song, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. But I want to say something. There's a lot of love that's out there. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes. But first, I want to thank our awesome, awesome listening audience. Yeah, that's you. The thousands of you that are out there listening to the home-based business one-on-one platform, which includes the Jasari's Love Show, which is aired on Fridays, and we're going to work on this and make sure that we're available every Friday at 3 o'clock, and then we have the Sunday morning 9 o'clock show for the Home-Based Business 101 with business tips for those of you who choose to be home-based business owners or who are thinking about that. That's what the founder of this program, Baba Sitari Jahi, who is my husband, and that's at 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings. If you don't see a show available, it may be that he's traveling. So just go ahead and look at some of the archives. You'll probably see something within the last 4 or 5 years that you will really, really, really resonate with you. And that's all on Mondays. We have the Victoria Falk out of New York, New York. Yes, indeed. And she's stepping high. I just spent some days with her up in New York. All I can tell you, people, you better have your roller skates on and have your bags packed, because Miss Victoria Falk is where it's at when it comes to travel, New York, New York, and really anywhere around the world. And then her and I are usually together on Thursdays. We were out traveling, so we weren't able to do the show Thursday. But there's a Thursday show at 3 o'clock. Her show also is Monday at 3 o'clock. And again, back to me on Fridays at 3. Incidentally, on Thursdays at 3, we do travel tips. The little things and major things you need to know when you're traveling. And that reminds me of a very important customer I got to get back to because she needs travel insurance. So things like that you want to know about. And we'll go over that on travel Thursdays at 3 o'clock. But right now, I, Cynthia Jahi, who's also known as Jafari's Love, I'm happy to be with you today on this Friday at 3 o'clock, and I think today is the 17th or 18th of March. I don't have my calendar in front of me, but you know what day it is, and we can look that up a little later. And I want to do a tribute because this is International Women's Month. It all started as International Women's Day, which would have been March the 8th, and I'm going to do a little bit on the women's topic as we talk about love. And, you know, I've got to start with the first woman in my life, which would be my mother. That, to me, is very, very, very important. I had a really, really, really wonderful, loving, sweet relationship with my mother. Her name is Mrs. Edith Williams. She was Edith Palmer at one time. And before she married my dad, they were married for 43 awesome years. And I want to take the first moment to speak about the first woman that I say would be the most important person in my life on a one-on-one personal relationship, Edith Williams, Mrs. Edith Williams. And just really quickly, I'm going to run down a few things that, to me, make her special. And I think that my relationship with her has propelled me in the work that I do in dance and theater, and you know, and even being on the show, although my mother never done the radio, if she never was given an opportunity to speak, that might have been just to say a couple of words. If I get her on the show next week, I'll see if I can get her to say a couple of words. But now she's 89, and she's a wonderful 89-year-old. Young, right? 89 years young. And pretty energized. She loves to dance. And like I said, that's where I got it from, my love for dance. So I'm going to name a couple of things real quick about my mom, and then we're going to move on to a couple more people. And some of these people will be international people. My mother, I could say, just provided to us a loving home environment. And I'm going to repeat this several times during the times that you hear me, because a lot of times we hear about the bad mamas out here. I want you to know there's some good mamas, and mine was a good mama, and she still is. Very loving, a hugging mother, a mother that sits and talks with you as a child, you know, a mother who she did my hair, she, you know, put the mayonnaise in my hair, and sometimes there was the mineral oil, or whatever thing she thought was healthy for your hair. And I have a full head of hair right now. I'm 60 years old. I don't even have any gray hair. I don't really know what I could attribute it to. My mother didn't start graying until she was in her late 60s. My dad probably when he turned 62, right at the tip where his ears are. So I don't know if that's hereditary or what. But a lot of love that she gave me from head to toe, physical love, the way that she cooked, the way that she talked to me, the way she explained things. We had mother and daughter days in which she took me to downtown Baltimore. I didn't know about a lot of the prejudices back then. I learned what that was going on, really. When she took me, Press Keys, some of the schools would, and Rite Aid were just opening their doors to black people as far as being able to sit at the restaurant counters. I didn't know about any of that. I was probably 3, 4, 5 years old because I was born in 1956, okay? So you kind of figure out. And this is Baltimore City where I grew up at. So just wanted to kind of give you a background. It's those things, you know, my mother is a housewife. She provided a very clean and happy home. And my father, you know, treated her like a queen. When I say queen, that's another day for Father's Day, but trust me, he did. And I felt as though there was genuine love given to us as children. I think I've told you before, I have 4 brothers and 1 sister, and she's the baby. I'm the second oldest. But that was important. We never ruled the regulations, but nothing was ever too harsh. Yes, we did get a couple of spankings, and oh, yes, we got punished for being hard-headed, and there were chores that we did in the house. So the main thing I can say that I received from my mother is how to be loving to your children, grandchildren, your husband, and how to try to keep your family together and engaged, celebrating holidays, always celebrating birthdays, okay? And making that person feel special. That's my mother. In a nutshell, there are many, many more things I can tell you. I can say this here. She was not a religious-speaking person as far as yelling that at you. She just demonstrated love through her actions. And I think that's even much more profound than having to say a lot of words. You know, a lot of people come to these strict home households where the people have, they can quote everything in the Bible, then they beat you upside your head with it, they deepen, you know, they do a lot of mean, crazy things. Well, my mother wasn't like that. She was the total opposite. We said our prayers. We said prayers for every time we ate any food, you know, our grace, and we said our prayers at night, a little bit more during the holidays. But other than that, it was how she treated us that demonstrated to me and my family what the word love really means, as well as anybody in my community. Any child that was on their steps in the cold one time, you know, after school, waiting, maybe they were latchkey children. We didn't have that name for them. In the 60s and 70s, you all know that. The name didn't really come about until the end of the 70s, early 80s, as far as I know. And so she would say, go just tell a little boy crusher, a little girl crusher, and come in here and get some hot chocolate and look at TV, and they could look out the window until their parents come, and then they could go home. That was the way it went down in my home. So kudos to my mom of 89 years young, Mrs. Edith Williams. And then, well, this goes on, of course, my aunts and teachers have done that before. Offhand, you know, usually I refer to my dance instructors. You can listen to that on another archive. But any of my dance instructors, real quick, I give a shout out. Wonderful women, Maria Brome, and there are many others who I want to give kudos to as far as the females. Actually, she's one of the main ones. And Rose Daly, I have to give you a kudos too, who taught me jazz dancing. Really, really love, you know, what those women did as far as my personal life. My aunts, of course, my aunt Dora Greaves and my aunt Eleanor, who always encouraged me to dance, both of them. And my aunt Dora encouraged me to go ahead and be an entrepreneur. She was very well aware of the fact she was out of living in New York that I had those skills. Oh, and Mrs. Moody. Now, Mrs. Moody, I apologize, I do not know her first name. She was a choir director for the youth choir at Whitestone Baptist Church. And I'm quite sure through those choirs that Miss Moody was one person who probably encouraged a lot of people to go on. The piano player, of course, she had somebody to pay the piano for, right? And she was a female, and of course she was a female. And, of course, any of the singers that came through there. So those are some kind of intimate people that were in my life. I do not at this very moment have on my mind any particular female instructor in school that boldly stands out. There were a couple that I can say I like. One of my history geography teachers at Calverton Junior High School and a fourth or fifth grade teacher, I think her name was Miss Whitney, at Belmont Elementary School that were personal teachers to me. I had pretty good teachers, but there are just a few that I could say would stand out. So I'm going to move on from there as far as this being International Women's Month, and just recognize the women that you know, you're not going to necessarily know these women that I'm talking about, but you can look them up. But I'm doing this so you can reflect back on the women in your life. So many times we spend a lot of time with the women that are internationally and nationally, you know. But we look over the women that, you know, change your diaper or pamper, depending on how old you are. The woman that may have fed you, might have breastfed you, may have pulled you out from a fire, kept you from being hit by a car, put a bandage on your knee. Let's not forget those women, the women who fed you. Maybe there was a woman who protected you if you had an abusive mother. I mean, there's a lot of things going on. Maybe there's a grandmother who was there for you. And speaking of grandmother, of course, I just want to give kudos to my grandmother, Miss Geneva Palmer. I spent a little bit more time with her at the end of her life in her 80s. And she gave me this quote, and it goes like this here. You may not mean any harm by the things you say, but you can cause great harm. You may not mean any harm, but you can cause great harm. So I kept that quote from Miss Geneva Palmer, my grandmother on my mother's side. And, of course, I want to give kudos to my grandmother on my father's side, Annie Williams. Just that, you know, I did get to know her a little bit, and she was my grandmother. Okay, want to move on to sports. Right now, of course, you know, I'm just going to concentrate on the saying, you know, there are a lot of ladies out here, and you think about the sacrifices of Althea Gibson in the area of tennis, and, of course, you got Venus and Serena Williams out there right now in the area of, oh, yeah, tennis. And, you know, they're a lot more black and white, I do realize that, and other, you know, the international, this is international. A lot of times the other women do get to be recognized, and I'm going to recognize everybody a little bit more next week. There's so many more women in sports. The list goes on and on. I just covered those two real quick just to put their names out there. But, of course, we have the golfers, we have the basketball players, we have the bowlers. You name a sport, the swimmers, there's a woman out there that's making and making records and making strides. Actually, my niece is out there right now. She's only 16 years of age. Her name is Kiana Williams, and she's a pretty good basketball player and golfer. So I want to mention her. She's not an adult woman, but she is a female, and she's going to be in history. So look for Kiana Williams to be someone to contend with and someone to make you, those of us who admire women, are proud of her. In the arts, of course, we have, you know, Maria Anderson, Thelma McQueen, Butterfly, the movies. Maria Anderson was a singer, Zora Neale Hurston. And the list is so intense, I would be here for hours talking about the arts. I'm speaking about Anderson, and I don't know why I can't get that name to roll off my list like I always do, because I grew up, we learned about her in elementary school. Because, of course, I've seen them on either TV or read about them. Thelma McQueen, of course, I saw her on the screen in the famous movie, which escapes my thoughts right now. And Zora Neale Hurston, I had the privilege of learning more about her in my late 20s. Actually, you would think it was college, but it wasn't. I got turned on to her books and her movies, the books that were turned into movies by Zora Neale Hurston. If you want a good read, oh, my goodness, please pick up a Zora Neale Hurston book. Excellent, excellent book. And there's some more writers, so many more. Politics, personal relationship, Ms. Barbara McCulkey out of Maryland. I actually was a government employee one time, and I must say Ms. McCulkey always did her best, to my knowledge. I don't know a lot about politics and what goes on behind closed doors and moment by moment. But I can tell you that we could go and sit and meet with her as she came to the administration to meet with us, the workers. And in my personal family life, we actually met with Barbara McCulkey when we had to try to get our FEMA number, because my husband and my family were, we were people that were able to get out of Hurricane Katrina, and we had to move. We were at that time living in New Orleans. So Barbara McCulkey, kudos to you. She was a state. She was actually a congresswoman. She just retired, I believe, in 2015, or she's going to retire in 2016. Kudos to Barbara McCulkey. And then we have Mary Pat Clark, who has been a city council person in Baltimore City. I'm talking about her because on a personal level, I did get to know her as my husband and I were granted the rights to operate the Rodnell Heights Recreation Center located in West Baltimore. And she's a city council person that my sister Kim and I could call when we needed some trash removal done in one of the neighborhoods we were living in on Walbrook back in the, I think this was the late 80s. So she actually, you know, there was hands-on talking to her and walking with her and pointing out a problem and actually seeing it get solved. And also for the mayor, the former mayor, Michelle Dixon, I want to give kudos out to her. May not have seen eye to eye on everything, but I think this young African-American woman does deserve to be mentioned because she was a mayor of a city. And to be a mayor of a city is a very, very, very big, enormous, very difficult responsibility. But she also was part of, you know, making sure that citizens in Baltimore could operate, keep their recreation centers going. And right now, currently in politics, Ms. Jill Carter, who is a state, who is a state delegate, Jill Carter, her family is known in politics, but it's the work that her dad has done and the work that she chose to do. She is actually a lawyer by trade, and she chose to be involved in politics, and she can't be brought, and she can't be coerced. She is a person who is steadfast and very determined to get the job done for a better life for everyone in the state of Maryland. In education, I have been, oh, my goodness, the honor, when I say the honor, of being able to actually go and meet Miss Marva Collins out of, I believe, Chicago. She just passed, I think, in 2015. What a life that we have lost. I believe she was in her late 70s, early 80s. Absolutely phenomenal person. If you can please get her book, The Marva Collins Story, and anything that she's written on how to work with children, I highly recommend it. Every single person who's going to implement legislature, read her book and then do what she says do. If you're a teacher or a principal, read the Marva Collins Story and implement it. If you're a homeschooler, if you're at the college level, if you've got a daycare, look up Marva Collins, and for God's sake, you don't have to keep rewriting the wheel. She has the answer. All the students, or I would say at least 98% of the students that came to the program were able to go to colleges, most of them Ivy League schools. Please, you know, these people have contributed. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. Go read about Marva Collins and just take it and put that plan into action. And just understand, this is the Jasari's Love Show. Whatever you do, do it with love, people. Love. And I'm not talking about any kind of crazy insane love. I'm talking about when you think of love, love means that you're not whipping on anybody, you ain't pinching nobody, you're not pulling nobody by the ear, you're not putting red beads on people's faces. Love. You're being gentle. You can be firm. You're being caring. And you're being patient. You want to know what love is? Check out Marva Collins. Marva, M-A-R-V-A Collins, educator out of Chicago. Mary McLeod Bethune, way before Marva Collins. She took 50 cents, maybe $1.50. Very under $5, okay? In the 1800s, this woman did phenomenal work in creating an education program that still stands to Bethune, in McLeod, Bethune, Cookman College, okay? Very important work that she's done. Amelia Earhart. Like I said, I'm going to cover all women. Amelia Earhart. For those women out here who are adventuresome, you have Amelia Earhart. Please, get out. E-A-R-H-A-R-T is how you spell her last name. Read about her. This is a woman that was flying in the early 1900s, flying an airplane when very few people even were flying airplanes, very few men, very few anybody. She had a dream to fly, even as a young child, and she made her dream come true. So read about her because it's not just that you, okay, I'm not saying you're interested in flying the plane, but I am saying you're interested at home and enlightening your life, being a visionary, being a person that can dream and then make your dreams come true. A lot of these women impact us because they motivate people, they help you realize anything you may want to do is possible. You may not want to be a tennis player. You may not want to be a runner. You may not want to be a singer. But whatever it is you want to be, there are enough examples out here to let you know that when you read these women's autobiographies, you will realize that they had to overcome a lot of difficulties to be able to do what they do, because most things under the European and American system, and even some of the other systems in the world, are very patriotic, very male orientated. So these women had to go through a lot to be able to achieve what they achieved, to be able to get an opportunity to do the things that they do. So Amelia Earhart, let's give her kudos for her flying and all the achievements and opening the door so other women can be pilots of planes. Fannie Lou Hamer, again in politics, who wanted to make sure that her voice was heard in the Democratic Party back in the 60s and that the African Americans had the right to vote. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? She was working on that in the 60s, and we haven't solved that problem yet. So women that are out there, we need you. We all need to do our part. Find something out of the list that I've named, sports, art, science, politics, education. Find something, the sciences, something that you can do, whether it's in your house, by being more loving, let it spread out to your community and your church. Take up a role in your church. Step up and find something that's not only going to affect the church, but the community that you're involved with. Of course, we're familiar with Coretta Scott King, being the supportive spouse of Dr. Martin Luther King and keeping his legacy alive. Rosa Parks, Sarah refusing to give up her seat on the bus. Sojourner Truth, refusing to give up her seat on Cleveland Stagecoach. We all know Harriet Tubman. Some of you don't. You need to study who are these people and know who they are. I had the opportunity of seeing Debbie Allen in Baltimore City. Oh, my goodness. I did not meet her in person, but you talk about a fireball of energy as far as dancing, acting, and singing. She's a triple threat. She's got all three down, and now she has her own school in Texas, her own dance school with her daughter, her lovely daughter. Again, these are women who are out there, you know, changing records, making life different, putting women on the map, and being in charge of what's going on in their life. I had the awesome opportunity of meeting Judith Jamison. She is in charge of the Avenelli Dancer. Mr. Avenelli left her in charge as he was getting sick and passing on back in the late 80s. He's also greatly missed. Miss Judith Jamison at the time was his principal dancer. So kudos to Judith Jamison. We started with D.L. Wilwick, and I'm going to end with her niece, Whitney Houston, who contributed as a songbird. Absolutely beautiful voice. And I said I was going to end with her, so I'm going to come back there in a minute. I want to do Patti LaBelle and Aretha Franklin. There's a whole score of thousands of other singers and musicians out there. Over the Rainbow, Patti LaBelle. The first song, though, I must admit, for me, was Respect by Aretha Franklin. And that's what Jasari's Love is about. The Jasari's Love Show is about love, respect, peace, and harmony. You cannot have peace without harmony, the kind of peace I'm talking about. And you have to have harmony and respect. So kudos to Aretha Franklin. Kudos to Patti LaBelle for Over the Rainbow. And Whitney Houston, The Children of the World, and so many other songs that this lovely, lovely woman who we greatly missed gave to us. This is the Jasari's Love Show. I'm going to close out today. If you want to get more information from me on these different topics, if you like a tour, I do tours through the D.C. area. Love to take you on a tour. Just let me know, where you want to go, or maybe you don't know. But if you want a tour, especially in African-American history and what goes on in the Baltimore, D.C. area, contact me at 252-406-0774. And as for Cynthia Jahi, Jasari's Love, let me write it out so I can spell it out to you. That is my Gmail. And you can find me, Cynthia Jahi, right on Facebook. Cynthia Jahi, J-A-H-I, how easy is that? Jasari's Love, J as in joy, A as in air, S as in sun, another A as in air, R as in Ray, I as in island, S as in sun, the word love, L-O-V-E, people, L-O-V-E, at G as in good, mail, mail.com. That's how you can reach me. Again, this is Cynthia Jahi of Jasari's Love, a home-based business one-on-one platform. I look forward to sharing more information with you next Friday. Get the word out. I'm going to do my best to get the word out. In the meantime, check my husband's archives or check for him live on Sunday morning at 9. And then again, this is Victoria Falk of New York, New York, for travel. Not just New York people, but anywhere in the world. She has the lowest retail and wholesale prices, and also so will I, Jasari's Love of Movement for Limited Travel. And then you have Travel Thursdays at 3 o'clock. Look for her at 3 o'clock. Look for me and her together at 3 o'clock on Thursday. And look for me on next Friday. In the meantime, have a week of love, peace, respect, and harmony. Think of the women in your life, the women that have affected you personally and also on an all-personal basis as you think about International Women's Month, and make an effort to read a woman's autobiography, somebody that's not even from this country. Pick one from this country and one from just any other country. Pick a African country, a country in Asia. Pick Australia. Doesn't have to be European all the time. Pick Alaska. In the meantime, what the world needs now and what the world has from Jasari's Love is much love. Take care. Have an absolutely wonderful, loving weekend. Bye now.